If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following is intended for bizarre audiences only. Welcome to the Midnight Library.
Madam, one of the guests has arrived early and quite upset.
Well, thank you for the cheery news, darling.
Miss Pinkton claims she was chased by a flying goat in Phantom Forest.
Maybe Miss Pig Tongue is making things up.
She has pictures, madam.
Ugh, blast these people and their bloody cameras.
Oh, and Smokey Joe, the flying goat, would like to know where he can roost.
Ugh! Blast these otherworldly beasts and their bloody demands!
Well, good evening. greetings, Irma. I am so sorry, everyone. Please try to ignore Irma as you make your way into the reading room. Oh, Irma, baby, please. Oh, please put that down before you poke a guest's eye out again. everyone, if you could break up your little chatty circles and take your seats. Everyone, please. Good evening, Paul. Yes. You're concerned about your costume. Yes. For the mummer's dance. Sure. Maybe we could address this later, after the reading. Yes? Wonderful. Please don't worry, and please take your favorite spot on the overstuffed chair before someone else snaps it up. There you go. Welcome to the Midnight Library, everyone. I am your mysterious MC, Miranda Merrick. Well, you may have noticed an undercurrent of lively energy between some of your fellow folks tonight, as you were entering the library. I'm sure you saw little groups of three or four people whispering in circles with each other. Don't feel excluded if you weren't part of these little collectives. In time, you still may be. I mean, there's probably no reason why not. As you're settling in, On the hospitality tray, you'll find that our Natasha has prepared the most unique and delicate treats for you. Each cookie, biscuit, muffin, cake, or yummy candy looks one way on the outside, but holds within it something else on the inside. Some that are shaped like apples may contain a wee worm inside. A candy worm, I'm sure. Cookies or cakes decorated like houses might hold within it a tiny ghost made of marshmallows, no doubt. And not in any way real ectoplasm. You probably shouldn't eat that, maybe. You get the idea. Everything on the tray has some hint of a hidden identity in honor of tonight's mysterious topic of mummers. Before I forget, and we have another mishap, I'll just remind you to keep an eye out. Maybe that was a poor choice of words, for Irma. She is super keyed up about tonight's reading. Plus, she has been into the sugary treats, so she's hiding and then popping out and running about in her costume, and carrying a small but unbelievably pointy umbrella. If you would like to try and catch her, you're welcome to. But I don't recommend it. As we begin, I have a question for you, my lovely. When is the last time you were in costume? I don't want to imply that I'm prying into what you get up to in the privacy of your own home. That's what crystal balls are for. Let me clarify my question. When was the last time you were in costume in public? And not to rob a bank, or not just with a silly pair of clovers on springs, dealy boppers on your head for St. Patrick's Day. I mean, a real costume that obscured your true identity, or perhaps even transformed you. A true disguise. I see a few of you shifting in your chairs. Now, you know I would never, ever tell you what to do. I can only say to you that life is short. If you've never indulged in being in costume, well, I fear that you are missing out. And I'm not talking about the tradition that's strictly linked with Halloween. Not strictly, anyway. Thousands of years ago, literally for thousands of years, people have been painting their faces and bodies, creating masks, headdresses, and entire ensembles to wear in order to alter or change their own appearance. Sometimes for fun, yes, but more often, these costumes were meant to hide the identity of, or to transform the wearer into an alternative being. Some costumes were so elaborate and made with such valued and sacred components that they were believed to have the ability to imbue the wearer with protective, divine, otherworldly, or mystical powers. It doesn't matter what your cultural heritage is, just know that your ancestors going way back were well into wearing costumes and carrying on. As with any great tradition, The ancient Egyptians of more than 6,000 years ago are believed to be the original trendsetters in this colorful custom as well. If you recall seeing the mesmerizing hieroglyphic images of Egyptian humans wearing the masks or the animal heads of their gods, like Horus and Anubis, to partake of spiritual ceremonies, well, this may well have been the very start of people dressing up for the first time. Close behind the Egyptians, the Greek culture is even more well documented for their costumed festivities. From ancient Greek etymology, we come to the key word we're looking for, mummer. The word mummer is derived from the Greek momus, meaning to mock or to personify by using costuming and satire. A mummer is one who captures your attention by being instantly visually interesting and attractive, although you would have no idea just who you are looking at. Adding intrigue to their weirdness, many but not all mummers only mime their motions and do not speak. The word mum, as in to keep mum about something, as you know, means silent one. Mummers' plays and parades were so popular in past times, the phenomenon spread over the entire globe. The medieval period saw their society enthralled with mummers, who entertained others as they wore a variety of huge-headed, colorful masks in the guise of kings, beasts, and devils, or two-person pantomime costumes of camels, horses, and bulls that comically gallivanted around to delight their onlookers. The gathering of costumed groups would meet and traipse through the villages, dancing and cavorting to flutes, lutes, and drums. Mummers' plays were often performed for the masses, for peasants, and even the very poor. This type of bold pageantry had a heavy impact in medieval times. I'm sure you can easily imagine how seeing the giant 8 or 10 foot tall head of the king bearing down on the crowd would make an impression upon the common people. Admittedly, I don't have an official note of it here, but I'm thinking that these larger-than-life characters may have contributed to the habit of referring to those who were not royalty and not in power, as the little people. One archaic mumming play that amazingly survives in provincial villages in England and Ireland to this day has the same basic storyline that it's had for hundreds of years. A knight or champion bravely engages in a mock battle or joust. He is mortally wounded and dramatically falls to the ground dead, which immediately saddens the wide-eyed crowd. Then, suddenly, the knight is descended upon by a heroic doctor who swoops in, treats, and resurrects him, giving the crowd a happy ending to cheer about. And then more merrymaking ensues. In later times, across Europe, bands of roving mummers would parade through the streets in the summer, fall, and winter. These festivities were tied to the Roman festival of Saturnalia, which honored the agriculture of the season. And these revelers were often dressed in vines, leaves, wheat, and corn stalks to celebrate the planting and harvest seasons. Many of these mummers strangely, casually entered into people's houses as they danced. Once inside, they would suddenly stop dancing and curiously begin to play games with dice in silence, tossing the dice on the tables and floors. When their game was done, they would simply leave, giving no clue as to what the numbers on the dice meant. They left as eerily and as quickly as they arrived. It was around this time the mummers began to behave differently. The costumed characters began reciting poems or singing, and even begging or busking for coins, food, and drink. In time, a kind of reciprocating game between the masked revelers and the spectators developed. The mummers would play music, perform dances, do minor acrobatics and humorous pranks, or they would sing silly songs or challenge their audience members with riddles to solve in exchange for money, food, and drinks. One old and bossy poem often declared by the thirsty mummers went,
"Here we stand before your door, as we stood the year before. Give us whiskey, give us gin, open the door and let us in."
Tonight's reading in the Midnight Library is brought to you by Evil Lynn's Everything Store. You may have heard a rumor in town that something strange is going down. If you are one who's part of the lore, then get yourself to Evil Lynn's store. Now is the time, the end of summer, to be a library secret mummer. Evil Lynn has cloaks and masks, so you can evoke your mystical task. Don your garb that will mesmerize. Dance a spell that makes spirits rise. Evil Lynn has everything for this hush-hush ritual fling. Flowing robes hide the risen dead, horses to ride as they spread the dread. She has flutes and drums for your weird dance, even tiny brass bells for your underpants. To be part of our rite that ends in gore, you must go this night to Evil Lynn's store. If you are in our inner circle, spooky lovelies, be sure to shop at Evil Lynn's Everything Store this week. Get your 20% off coupon by signing the little book being passed around the reading room. Don't worry about the fine print, just sign your name and make sure your address is correct.
Evil Lynn's is proud of, but not responsible for, any dubious, sneaky, shifty, underhanded, double-dealing devil doings incurred by providing your signature.
Find Evil Lynn's Everything Store, located conveniently right next to the barbershop on Fleet Street in the village. Now, I know what you're thinking. And wow, you're thinking, how sad that all of this happy, eccentric fun is only in the past. But my lovelies, do not despair. For the art of the Mummer's Dance, or Mummer's Parade, is more than alive and well in many places right now, in modern times. In fact, mummering may be at the height of its popularity now, as we live and breathe. Well, some of us. I do want to briefly mention here an odd custom born out of the wintertime Christmas celebrations of caroling and wassailing or toasting to the season or the new year. This very old, beloved, bizarre Welsh character that has arisen out of the acts of the visiting mummers. And this is that of the Merry Lewid. A Merry Lewid, if you sadly do not know. Well, I am delighted to tell you. A Merry Lewid is a kind of mummer or person in the guise of a dead horse. You heard me correctly. The mummering puppet is actually a dead horse's skull affixed atop a long or tall wooden pole. The pale equine skull is brightly decorated with ribbons, false ears, and bridle bells, and shiny ornaments or bulbs are fitted into its empty eye sockets, giving the dead horse a surreal liveliness. And a huge flowing bedsheet is draped down from its bony head, creating one of the most peculiar, creepy, phantom-like beings you can imagine. A person, usually a man, then hides himself beneath this tented sheet as he grasps the pole, lifts it into the air, and parades the adorned dead horse head all around. The Merry Lewid, also referred to as the Grey Mare, is often accompanied by an official groomsman wearing a top hat and a long-tailed coat. This gentleman holds the Merry Lewid's reins and escorts her from house to house. There are often several minstrels playing music that stride along with the lively, deceased horse. Some of the best, truly almost lifelike Merry Lewids are equipped with a string or wire that runs from their bottom jaw under the curtained sheet. This string or guideline allows the hidden man to puppeteer the corpse horse's mouth so that it may speak or sing. Doesn't it sound glorious? I'm sorry, I think it's glorious. In any case, the animated dead horse then does as mummers have typically always done. It goes from house to house, singing, telling jokes and riddles, looking for food, fun, and maybe a little festive drink, or several. Those of you that have heard the rumor that I have created a miniature Merry Lewid out of a raccoon skull that I keep on my desk, well, let me assure you, it's true. Now, you recall that I encouraged you not to despair because mummering is very popular nowadays. So let me tell you just where the largest mummer's parade takes place, at least the largest one in the United States. Each year on New Year's Day, for at least the past 125 years, the grand city of Philadelphia in Pennsylvania has thrown the biggest mummer's parade in the continental United States for all of these years. The entertaining spectacle was brought to the area by Swedish immigrants in the 17th century. It is recorded that America's first president, George Washington, called upon the mummers to celebrate the new year for each of the 7 years he lived in Philadelphia, and they showed up and put on their outlandish parade in the streets every single year. On January 1st, 10,000 brilliantly costumed characters with flashy, colorful suits, dresses, made-up faces, and wild wigs and masks march, dance, and perform skits with moving scenery as they parade in groups, strutting down Broad Street in front of even more attending spectators. The mummers, in addition to their glittery tinseled outfits, are often seen to be wearing traditional golden shoes and carrying vibrant umbrellas that are incorporated into their choreographed routines. The traveling troops are divided into five separate groups they are performing as: the Fancies Division, the Fancy Brigade, the Comics, the String Band, and the Wenches Brigade. Each group has their own style of performance. The kaleidoscope of mummering clubs prepare their ornate costumes and flamboyant routines months in advance, because this mummer's parade is also a competition. The entire community comes alive to share in the excitement of the music, the food, and the fun. Philadelphia's Mummer's Day Parade is the oldest and longest-running folk parade in the United States. And I think I just might have to jump on my broom and go see it for myself. Just kidding. Ouch! Irma! You satanic turd! How dare you poke mommy, me, with that infernal umbrella? Listen, Missy. Oh, there's a note attached. It's from Stefan Strangeways. I don't mind sharing this with all of you. You seem to know and like Stefan. So, let's see. My very dear Ms. Merrick, I am pleased to inform you that nearly everything is in place for your dark soiree this evening. My crew and I are honored to have the pleasure of clearing the ancient pathway in Phantom Forest in anticipation of you and your fine guests passing through. I hope you don't mind. I took the liberty of leveling the paved pathway, as creeping vines and roots had raised and tilted some of the old flagstones. I didn't want anyone to trip over as they walked along. The old standing stone circle has been swept in the middle, and the delicate soot you provided has been blown into the stone's engravings, just as you've requested. They look real nice, just the way you like them to. All of the candle lanterns have been placed, except for one, that I'm currently repairing the glass for. Then it will be hung up right alongside the others. Ma'am, after your ceremony, I intend to be down at the stables tending the horses, if you'd like to come by. I'll brush Shadowmare just in case you'd care to go for a nighttime ride. I'd be pleased to accompany you while we... He just rattles on here a bit. Let's see, something about moonlight, yada yada. wine, yada yada. Just more about the horses. P.S. Appears to be for Rain, who's been living in the past. Please come live in the moment, where your fate is not yet cast. Oh, my love, Stefan. Well, that's all lovely news. Take it all into consideration. thank you, Irma baby. Thank you. Now, I do want to tell you, but please do be careful to whom you repeat this. There is another, darker, more covert Mummer's Gathering that I would like you to know about. This parade, depending upon who knows about it and where it can be found, is more in line with Samhain and Halloween. So, it's more about the dead and communing with them and other spirits. These revelers are often more somber, strange, hypnotic, and mysterious. Their processions take place sometimes out in the open, in some old-fashioned or open-minded communities, especially those who hearken back to the old days and the old ways. Other times, their gatherings are private affairs. These unknown, unnamed beings secretly meet and promenade over ancient and sacred grounds, primeval forests, and even stone circles. In the dim moonlight, they can sometimes be seen shuffling along in the night until they reach a secluded doorway that gives way to hidden underground temples. In their hooded, gloomy robes and funeral-like shrouds, some wearing random animal masks, they mark the time of the thinning of the veil between the darkness and light, between life and death. They observe and assist in the turning of the wheel, the marking of the changing of the seasons. There have always been people who believed that a select few during this time have the gift or ability to peer beyond the veil, to call up and commune with the dead, and shifty underworld beings, or perhaps demons. Some of your neighbors believe and proclaim that just such shadowed and clandestine happenings take place here, on the grounds of the Midnight Library. Don't they, Mr. Darling?
They certainly do, madam.
And what do we call these rumors, Mr. Darling?
Poppycock, madam. Pure, unadulterated poppycock.
That's right. That's right. These other dark mummers' celebrations came about as a form of early trick-or-treating and dressing up as animals and spirits and lighting jack-o'-lanterns to scare away the spirits and devils, and not to confabulate with them or make sacrifices or perform ritualistic magic and dance around on a high and hallowed spot with them. How silly. Of course not. Oh, my. Look at the time. Please rise and gather your belongings. And thank you for being here, everyone. Paul, and anyone else who may have questions about our new seamstress and dry cleaning sponsor, the heck is it? Gulia's Garments, I think. I have a coupon for you. So if you would all just stay behind with me while everyone else leaves and stay here and out of earshot of everyone else, that will work best. Good night, everyone else. Good night.
Thank you.
Madam, the guest mamas are donning their robes, and of all things, a nun has arrived. She claims to be the guest of honor.
Well, she is, kind of.
She looks awful.
If you had 13 demons inside you, you'd look a bit rough, too.
13 demons? All jammed in one nun? Then why?
It's cheaper than an Uber. The Midnight Library would like to thank everyone at Astonishing Legends. The magical music and sound design you hear is by Chris at Sounds Like an Earful. All of our readings are written and produced by me, Miranda Merrick. My favorite thing is sharing them with you. If you have found joy and terror by visiting our unique library, I invite you to join me beyond the cordoned off areas in our also unique Patreon. I solemnly swear on a stack of ancient grimoires that I will personally greet you there, and that you can reach me anytime you care to write. Our patrons get everything first. Visit patreon.com/midnightlibrary. If Patreon doesn't give you shivers, please find lots of strange goodies and buy us a bag of entrails in our Ko-fi at ko-fi.com/midnightlibrarypod. Be sure to put pod on the end or you'll land on a boring copycat. If you already support the Midnight Library, well, you already know how much we love you. Thank you.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.